Chilly morning. I'm glad somebody got here this morning to turn on the heat. Warmed us up in here. I've heard that you all love each other and love the Lord and love these truths, rightly divided. And if I haven't said so before, I'm saying it now, that I love you all and I love all you. And I teach only to edify you. That means to build you up in the knowledge of the truth and the knowledge of the Lord. So that's what we're here to do today. Last time, we talked about correct doctrine and these divisions of the religion of Christianity, 45,000 different subgroups of Christianity. And they came about from originally the what's called the Great Schism of 1054 between the Roman Western Church and the Greek Orthodox Church. And it's called the Eastern Orthodox. And, of course, the Roman Empire moved its capital from Rome to Constantinople, named after Constantine. And they spoke mostly Greek, and the Romans spoke Latin. So there was some differences there. And the Roman church had this concept of a pope, and over time, the Eastern church didn't agree with that idea that someone could be infallible and be a leader of the whole church organization and claim to be infallible. And there was a guy named Athanasius from Alexandria, which is one of the became one of the Eastern Orthodox churches. And he's the guy who actually was the architect of the Nicene Creed. And he was also the guy who came up with the books that we have in our New Testament. And later, Jerome put those into a complete Bible. So over time, these churches split. And one was called the Universal or Catholic Church. The other one was called the Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox Church. And the early Christian church had a schism that resulted in the two churches separating. The Eastern church became known as Orthodox. However, both claimed to be the true church as successors of Jesus Christ and the apostles. Both claim to be the universal church, and both use that word in their name. So actually, the Orthodox Church calls itself the Orthodox Catholic Church. Both claim to hold to holy tradition of the Christian faith. Both celebrate a sacrificial mass and minister sacraments, and both are a religion and are bound to a creed. So this word Orthodox caught my attention, and I became very curious about that. How would you react if I were to ask you to, let's go to an Orthodox Bible study, or let's go to an Orthodox service? You probably say, nah, no thanks, right? Have you ever attended a Catholic Mass? Anybody here? Anybody attended a Greek Orthodox service? Well, I did. Back years ago, the guy who trained our children in equestrian sports was a Ukrainian and a German master trainer. And he was his funeral was held in the Greek Orthodox Church in Chicago. So we went to this Greek Orthodox Church. But I grew up in a Roman Catholic Church, what they used to call the Catholicos Ecclesia. Or ecclesia, and it was there was an altar, and there was all kind of statues and candles, and this is the old-fashioned Catholic church, like when I was a child. Now it's more modern; it's been turned around, facing the people, but there's still an altar, still a sacrifice, and it's kind of the pagan twist on the Lord's Supper, is what the Mass is, and the Greek Orthodox Church looks very similar. Instead of these statues, it has icons, which are all these pictures of people, which are probably Jesus and Mary and Joseph and apostles and people from the Bible. But they still have an altar and candles and all this elaborate ritual. And I, being a Catholic for 30 years, when I went into an Orthodox service, I'm thinking, what is going on here? I mean, the priest would go, but he would disappear behind those areas back there, and he'd come back out, and every so often in the service, he'd just disappear and then come back. And even for me, having been a Catholic for 30 years, it was hard to figure out what was going on. So the intellectuals have a term they call proto-orthodoxy. This means the birth of orthodoxy or the beginning of orthodoxy. The apostolic fathers were the post-Acts leaders that developed the religion which became Christianity. And they insisted on bishops being treated as equal to the Lord. So this created what was called church hierarchy. And they also believed in a universal church. And they rewrote history to validate their biblical views. And they eliminated all opposition as heresy. They had like their own cancel culture back in those days, didn't they? And they accepted only what they believed as being orthodox. So they enforced their orthodoxy by force. They even used the Roman army. And they would torture people who wouldn't. It was either convert or die back in those days. And it was by force. So not a true picture of what I would call, you know, God's church. The word unorthodox means contrary to what is usual, traditional, established, or accepted. So wouldn't you agree that maybe the dispensation of the mystery as we understand it is considered unorthodox? Right? It's considered unorthodox. Orthodox is the adjective, and it means conforming to what is generally and traditionally accepted as correct or true, established, and approved. This is a dictionary definition. Orthodoxy is the noun, authorized or general accepted theory, doctrine, or practice. So what do you think of when you hear the word orthodox? What conjures up in your mind? Were you thinking of maybe something like something old, something established, something traditional? Well, we have Orthodox Church. That term came about in the English in about 17th, 18th century. We have Orthodox Christians, we have Orthodox Jews, we have Orthodox Protestants, we even have a term called Orthodox medicine. So you get the kind of idea this is something established and something old and traditional. Well, this word orthodoxy came about as an English word in the 17th century. It comes from the late Latin orthodoxus, and which came from the late Greek orthodoxia. The words orthodox or orthodoxy are not found in the Bible. So you're saying, Al, wait a minute, we're going to have a Bible study on a word that's not in the Bible? Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Okay? It just simply amazes me how many fundamental words of religion are not found in the Bible and are twisted in meaning. The Greek, what are the Greek roots of orthodox? Now, I'm not a Greek scholar by any means. It's all Greek to me. But I can look up in my concordance, I can look up some words. So there's two words in our concordance for ortho, which is orthos, and they're both spelled the same way in English, but they're different inflections on the verbs in Greek. But Strong's number 3717, orthos, means straight or upright. And that's only used two times in the scriptures, in Acts 14:10 and Hebrews 12:13. And we'll look at those in a minute. The other one is Greek 37:23. Orthos, and that means right or rightly. And you find that in Mark 7:35 and three times in Luke. So the first one, 37:17, orthos, is in Acts 14:10. It means to stand upright. So I believe it was Paul telling someone to get up and stand upright. In Hebrews 12:13, that word is used to make straight your paths. Make straight your paths. The other word, orthos, 37:23, is found four times. Mark 7:35 says, and he spoke plain. Plain is the word for orthos. Luke 7:43, thou hast rightly judged. So that word is rightly there, rightly. Luke 10:28, thou hast answered right. Right is the word orthos. Luke 20:21 teaches rightly. The only other two words using ortho in the scriptures is Galatians 2:14. We'll talk about it in a minute, but it talks about walk uprightly, orthopedio. And 2 Timothy 2:15, we all know, is rightly divide, orthotomeo. So in the concordance, those are the only four examples of anything using the word ortho in the New Testament. Now, in the Hebrew, we have an equivalent of ortho, which is used quite a few times in the Hebrew. There's also two words spelled the same way, pronounced a little differently, but the Hebrew 34:74 is yashar, 27 times, and it means straight, right, or upright. There's another one, Hebrew 34:77, yashar, used 119 times, and that means straight or upright. Now, the Septuagint doesn't use the word ortho when it translates these to the Greek. It uses other words like euthetes, euthus, theosibus, and those all mean the same thing. They mean righteousness, rectitude, straight, true, pious, reverent of God. So thereby comes some idioms from these words. You've probably heard somebody was said to go straight and narrow, or somebody being asked to stand straight and tall, to be proud. Straight from the shoulder. Straight shooter, to go straight. My dad used to always tell me, straighten up. To be right in the eyes of someone. So the Hebrew, upright, when you convert it to Greek in the Septuagint, it means words like innocent, unblameable, undefiled, pure, holy, without guile, right, acceptable to God, upright, free from guilt, reverent. Do any of these sound familiar? Some of those sound like Paul's description of the body of Christ. Job was said to be perfect and upright man. He was a perfect and upright man. Is that word upright? So what does all this boil down to? The first part of orthodox, ortho, means upright, straight, right, true, righteous, holy. that would be the connotation of ortho. Now, the word dox, orthodox, the D-O-X, it could come from a couple of Greek words that I looked up. 1391 is doxa, and that's the word translated mostly in the New Testament as glory or glorious. Colossians 3:4 says that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in doxa, in glory. So that's also a word used for the above heavens. The above heavens. But some other times in the scriptures, in the English translations, it can be translated praise, worship, truth, honor, dignity, but mostly glory. But doxa comes from another Greek word, 1380, dokeo. Dokeo means to think. I think dokeo comes from doxa. Doxa comes from okeo. It seems like doxa comes from dokeo. It appears as though doxa comes from dokeo. So that's what dokeo means in those terms. But you have to note, as we talked about last time, we talked about doctrine. The Greek word for doctrine is didaskalia, not doxa or dokeo. So we're not necessarily getting a direct translation of correct doctrine here, or right doctrine. So ortho plus doxa could mean right glory, right worship. Ortho plus dokeo could mean right opinion or right thinking. So orthodox, in my opinion, means right opinion. It means right thinking, right worship. This would be what I would think would be definitions of orthodox. Now, although the word orthodox is not found in the scripture, the idea runs all through the scriptures. For example, let's look at Galatians 2:14. I might go back a few verses on that just to get the context. But here's Peter, remember Galatians 2, and Peter was at Antioch when Paul came there. In verse 11, he said, "But when Paul was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain men came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were, which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews assembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I, Paul, saw that they walked not upright according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" Well, I have a couple of things to say about this verse. Here we have the word orthopedio, orthopedio. You've heard of an orthopedic surgeon. In 2002, I slipped on some ice on the sidewalk and I broke my three bones in my left ankle. So I had to go to an orthopedic surgeon, put plates and screws in my left ankle. So an orthopedic surgeon is a person that makes you walk right. Orthopedio, walk right. A lot of people go to them to get their hips replaced, their knees replaced, and so on. Or you might go to an orthodontist. An orthodontist makes your teeth straight. Ortho, straight. Well, when I went to my orthopedic doctor, he had a partner in his firm, and I called them orthodox. They were the orthodox. He said, "No, that sounds like a paradox to me." But in this verse, when Paul said, I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. This gospel Paul was talking about was his gospel, right? His gospel was something new, was it not? But what Peter was falling back on was the Jewish tradition or the old Jewish law. So here Paul is saying, you're not walking according to the new teaching. You're walking according to the old teaching. So here, walking upright according to the truth of the gospel is a good definition of orthodox, but it's not something old, it's something new. It's new revealed truth. If Paul were around today, he'd probably say that same thing to most preachers today. You walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Another biblical definition would be 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Orthotomeo, straight cut. Rightly dividing is a good way to be orthodox. In the Old Testament, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Again, this is rightly divide thy paths. Hebrews 12:13 is another definition. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Healed is salvation. Turned out of the way of truth. So that has application. 1 Timothy 2:3-4. Another good definition of orthodox. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men should be saved and come unto the full knowledge of the truth, or to come to true knowledge. Right thinking, orthodox. Even the word godliness, the Greek is eusebia. The EU means well, sebia is the word for worship. Godliness is well worship. Orthodox, as we saw before, could mean right worship. Well worship. So orthodox is conforming to what is regarded as true or correct. The right opinion. The right thinking. True to revealed scripture. Now you have to think on this one a minute. But it seems like the worldly and religious orthodox meaning of orthodox is actually unorthodox, according to the Greek meaning of the word. You'll have to think on that a minute. Orthodox seems to be another word that the evil one has hijacked and perverted a long time ago. These early churches, and even all 45,000 subgroups, they're good at pointing out the mote in somebody else's eye, but they don't consider the plank in their own eye, which is religion. The idea of religion, meaning to bind again, is unorthodox to John 8:32-36, where Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So how can a religion be orthodox? 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure would give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That word oppose means opposite of what God says in his word. They oppose God as well as themselves. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying this power thereof, from such turn away. So if godliness means right worship, then those images we saw of the Catholic and Orthodox churches leaves the question of whether that is right worship or not. Worship in the Spirit and truth. Let me go back. The second one, 2 Timothy 3:7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, or full knowledge of the truth, or true knowledge. Second Timothy 4:3 through 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers, having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So orthodox is one of man's words. Orthodox is not inspired word of God. Orthodox is another word used in the lie. Should be a word in the Bible. I wish it was a word in the Bible. It would be a good word. So how can man be set free in Christ and then turn around and create a religion and a creed and claim to be orthodox? Is that correct thinking? It seems, dokeo, to me, that the word orthodox means the opposite of how it is being used. Orthodox means right thinking about revealed truth in the Scriptures. Orthodox means that which is contrary. Unorthodox means that which is contrary to the correct understanding of Scriptures. So as you understand the Bible, was Jesus considered orthodox? Was Paul considered orthodox? No. Is our understanding of the body of Christ considered orthodox? No. But Jesus was the orthodox Judean. The Pharisees and Sadducees were unorthodox. Paul became the orthodox apostle. The Judeans and the others were unorthodox. Are you getting my drift so far? Actually, the great schism didn't happen in 1054. It happened at the end of the book of Acts, where the religion of the Judeo-Christians took the path of religion that departed from Paul's revelation of the mystery. This thou knowest, Paul said, that all they which in Asia be turned away from me. 2 Timothy 1:15. So they were not given the spirit of wisdom and revelation and acknowledging of him. The eyes of their understanding were not enlightened. They were not strengthened with the might by his spirit in the inner man. They were not filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Is not the understanding of the dispensation of the body of Christ actually orthodox? And a religion of Christianity unorthodox? Well, let me say it in a kinder way. Biblical orthodoxy has gone through several phases that has taken about 2,000 years to mature. We talked about some of these last time, but the phases of right thinking. So when the Roman Catholic and the Eastern Orthodox Church split, maybe there was a little spark of right division there, you know. They were beginning to see some things different. When they were right dividing Peter from Matthew 16 to Peter Acts chapter 2, which also the Protestants did when they broke away from the Roman Catholic Church. And then we have the Peter in Acts 2 being divided from Paul in Acts 13 as a break in truth. And then we see a break between Paul and Paul, Paul in Acts 13 and Paul Acts 28. And then the extreme ultral dispensationalists like me claim that the body of Christ has nothing to do with the religion of Christianity at all. So we're totally on different pages with the religion of Christianity. So Ephesians 4:12 says, talking about orthodox maturity, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is orthodox maturity. As I said last time, the body of Christ will be the only ones who come into the unity of the faith and a unity of the Spirit. I don't think these other 45,000 religions are going to do that. Another definition of orthodox maturity, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Grow up, maturity. So don't let anyone tell you that your understanding of dispensational truth and right division concerning the body of Christ is unorthodox, because it is orthodox. According to the writings of Paul in Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and 2 Timothy, the body of Christ is the present and mature orthodokeo ecclesia. So if 45,000 subgroups of the Christian religion can claim to be orthodox and claim to have the truth of the scriptures, then so can we. We'll let Christ be the judge who's right. Well, congratulations, you've just attended an orthodox Bible study. When you see the word orthodox, you remember this lesson, but orthodox means correct thinking and true worship, not what the world thinks it means. And here at the Bible Forum, we seek orthodoxy. We seek the truth according to revealed scriptures. So let us pray that these other people out there in these religions will join us in a better understanding of God's truth, that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened like He has done for us. I'm not condemning them. I'm not criticizing them. I'm praying for them, that they too will see the truth of the scriptures revealed. Thank you. Any questions?
I have a comment. I've been considered a heretic a lot, but actually I'm Orthodox.
Yes, you are. So now you can say that back. No, I'm Orthodox. Somebody else is the heretic, right? That was an interesting study. I just thought that word caught my attention, and I wanted to share that with you. Hope you learned something from it.